Item 22 is the Executive Officer's Report. We have our, again, usual 401 water quality certification table. Excuse me. Any questions on that, on those projects?
Yes, I do, Mr. Rick.
On the project pertaining to the PXP.
Page two,
correct. Second table. Is this the Price Canyon facility?
Yes, I believe it is.
It's the reverse osmosis project?
That I don't know.
I'm not sure exactly what the 401 is for, but the overall project is the treatment of produced water from the oil wells. And I can't remember exactly what all the treatment processes were, but it may involve RO.
Yeah, because I think this was a project that was applied several years ago and then put on hold. And it is to apply reverse osmosis and
right.
then discharge the water in the creek. And my question was going to be, is this for the exclusive beneficial use of release in the Pismo Creek, which at that point is actually West Corral de Piedra Creek. Yeah.
Exactly. What's going on here is several years ago, as you mentioned, they applied to us for a discharge permit, and the board has already issued that discharge permit. The 401 certification is for construction of the creek outfall.
Okay.
Just the work that affects the creek.
Right. And I assume that's all tied with, you know, the other environmental agencies, Fish and Game and NOAA, Fisheries, Wildlife, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm certain it is.
Okay.
I can get you some information about the permit.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. On page three, Karen Worcester of our staff provided, she's not here right now, but she provided this written report that summarizes very recent results from a UC Davis Marine Pollution Studies Lab, U.S. Geological Survey project that includes three of our primary lagoons in the Central Coast region, the Salinas, Pajaro, and Santa Maria River lagoons. And I just point out that in summary, we have findings of legacy pesticides as well as new chemicals that are showing up. The new ones are basically fungicides that are a new finding on in this kind of, at least in these lagoons. So are there any questions on that summary?
The fungicides are used by who? Is this residential use? Is it commercial use? Do we have any information on that?
Well, I thought they were agricultural in origin, but I'm not positive about that. I was kind of jumping to that assumption, but I'm not positive. So Karen probably knows. We can check with her and get back with you about that.
Okay. And is this information, well, let me ask you this. When was the study completed?
I don't know if there's a date on here. Karen just received the information right before we prepared the agenda, so it's very new information in terms of the work being available.
Okay.
I guess there's nothing here in terms of the span of time that it covers.
Well, maybe we could revisit this when Karen is able to come down here.
Okay. So the dates.
Because I think it's important information.
And the what the fungicides.
Sources, dates, how this compares to the information that Karen has been collecting.
Right. Okay.
You know, what in her opinion is significant about it, things like that.
Right. All righty. And then next on page, the bottom of page four, as I have been doing all along now during the budget crisis, been providing an update of information, however meager it may be, but this does provide the latest in terms of budget impacts on our staffing and how that translates into the staff that are available, reduction in hours, and that sort of thing. So also we've lost another person, another admin person. Recall that Carol Hewitt retired effective first of the year, and now office technician Sherry Kuykendall has retired as well. And this is kind of doubly difficult because those are two people from an already pretty small admin unit, and we can't replace them due to the hiring freeze. So maybe a few glitches like having not changing the time of the start of the meeting, things like that that are likely to come up because of we have different people who are trying to pick up the jobs that now both Sherry and Carol were doing before, and I think it's understandable that we'll have some problems like that, and we'll try to minimize those. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Board questions or comments? Mr. Hodgins.
I was picking up on the furlough situation, and since you're down to one day a month, does that mean that we can go back to Friday meetings?
Well, that's up to the board. We thought that since we established the calendar for the year, that we would stick with it. I don't think these contracts have been ratified. Is that correct?
They haven't been approved by this legislature.
So, since they haven't been approved, there's a I think a slim chance that.
Well, something to consider for next year's schedule, then.
Well, it's something you can certainly bring up at any time with your fellow board members.
I will.
We can look at it, Dave, as soon as it gets ratified. If there's any dates you'd like to have us change, let's talk about it. All right.
And then the next item there under presentations, education and training. We mentioned the 29th annual Salmonid Restoration Conference, and Dr. Wolf of our board participated and provided a tour as part of that conference. Dave Innes of our staff provided a presentation that's referenced here, and it was a pretty extensive conference in the span of 3 days. And I don't know how the turnout was, if it was as expected, but it's a big conference.
Good attendance, considering the budget limitations for the various agencies.
Right. Actually, you just reminded me of something that I should have provided, which is going back to the budget item, something that's happened since I wrote this, and that is another governor's executive order regarding restrictions in travel. And so now our understanding is that travel is can only be undertaken, reimbursed for so-called mission-critical travel. So that means things that are not mission-critical are things like conferences, training that is not essential for maintaining certifications and that sort of thing. And we were talking offline a little bit about the fact that we have the Water Quality Coordinating Committee meeting coming up towards the end of September, and it remains to be seen whether that would, which side of the line that would fall. So hopefully you have it on your calendars, and as of now, it is, it's not canceled, it's still scheduled, but it may be that there have to be an exemption request for that, and so we'll see how that pans out. My understanding is that we can continue to do our jobs in terms of inspections and sampling and those kinds of activities that do require travel. And that's it for the, oh, and the dates for the WQCC again are September 26th, 27th in Sacramento, and I emailed out to you the draft agenda, which the chairs have been discussing during their monthly chairs calls, and the agenda gives you an idea of at least of the topics. What they haven't done is decided on the final lineup of speakers for some of the topics, notably the groundwater topics and that sort of thing. So that's still pending, but I wanted to give you an idea of what the format is and what the topics are. So like I said, I emailed that out. Russ, I don't know if you ended up with a copy of that, but I will present you with a copy.
Thank you.
Okay. And I see there's one other item here. Recall that we've talked a couple times now, a couple previous meetings, about our efforts to deal with our increased knowledge about the threat to domestic well users that have shallow wells or more shallow wells in nitrate laden groundwater areas, areas where we know from other well data that we have exceedances of maximum contaminant levels. And of course, we talked about that a little bit yesterday. But as sort of a parallel effort to our control efforts, we've undertaken this effort to notify people and hopefully get some additional sampling for those who are not protected by any kind of testing program that's required by any kind of regulatory agency, you know, for those small systems and individual systems. So the update that I have on that is that, again, recall that the chair and I met with the Santa Barbara County Chief Executive Officer, Chandra Waller, down in Santa Barbara. One of the things that we talked about was this issue, and we resent the letter that we had previously sent to the public health officer. We sent that to each one of the county public health officers. So that gave us a chance to bring that up again with her. They responded to us and described what they were doing. I, in turn, sent back a letter and pointed out that the steps that they're taking are positive, but there's certainly a lot of holes in the safety net, was the way I put it, multiple holes in the safety net. And so now I've received another response, and I'll just summarize here. They say the Environmental Health Services will propose modifying the county code to require that state small water systems monitor for nitrates once every 3 years. So the state small water systems, as a reminder, of those between 5 and 14 connections. Hope I got that right this time, John.
Yes.
Okay. The Board of Supervisors will then decide after a public hearing whether to approve this change to the county code. And then for the smaller systems, less than 5 down to individual systems, they just say we intend to continue our educational outreach and awareness effort. The county has required a ministerial permit for these water systems since 79. However, water system permit information has been only been entered into a computer database since approximately 97. Consequently, a substantial percentage of Environmental Health Services records consist of paper files only, which, of course, we talked about when we were down there. Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems. However, the county has begun to enter this information into their database. Once that's completed, they'll be able to come up with a mailing list and send notice advising the property owners, beginning with the high-risk areas, to routinely test their water for nitrates due to concerns that they're in elevated nitrate levels or in groundwater areas with elevated nitrate levels. And they refer to the press release that they already issued last year, and that they distributed that those materials to the medical community as well to assist in counseling residents in high-risk areas. So that's the latest.
I'd like a copy of that.
Yeah, actually, I meant to provide right. copies for everybody today.
And how does staff feel about that response?
Well, it is another step in terms of, at least now they're saying that the county will pursue the code revisions. However, again, it kind of falls short of the mark because it's only for a subclass of systems.
Mm-hmm.
So still, those with those wells that serve four families or fewer down to individual wells would just be subject to this general educational program. Another positive step, though, is that they're saying that they will update they'll bring their database current in terms of taking those paper files and putting it into a form where then they could have a mailing. So that, depending on how long that takes, but that, again, is another step in the right direction. So we've definitely made a lot of progress through this work with the county.
Mm-hmm.
And you might recall previously that our other, really our highest priority area where we've been working is in Monterey County, and we're proceeding with that work as well.
Do we have any sense for why they may be opting the lower number of connections, you know, per well out of the ordinance? Any idea?
I don't.
Yeah, okay. All right.
We just received this. Actually, I probably just saw it Monday.
Okay.
And I haven't talked to anybody with either the public health officer's operation. And actually, they refer us to Environmental Health Services for follow-up.
Okay. And then staff's efforts with the other counties is where? I know you told us about that last board meeting.
Right. The highest priority area is Monterey County.
Okay.
So that's where we're focusing in terms of trying to follow up with notification. And
I think you told us that the board is going to do the notification itself.
Well, yeah, we want to have the cooperation of Monterey County Health, and but we said we will proceed regardless. But what we want to do is have any notification referred to the county as well as us. But
right.
It really makes sense for the county to be the primary contact for follow up information. And I sense that John Robertson has something to add to this.
Okay.
I was also going to just step up. John Robertson, Regional Board staff. I was also going to step up and try to field any questions or add any detail if you wanted. As we talk internally, we see this really as a county health's role, but in the absence of that being done, we feel that some notification has to happen. And so we're trying to fill the vacuum of silence, in a sense, there with our own notification. The notice that we will prepare, and we've constructed a draft notice at this point, will point at county health. We'll have county health contact, as well as some contact information for ourselves and for health information. If you want to dig deeper on the health impacts associated with excessive nitrate in your drinking water, we'll point them at websites that have information about that, too.
Well, what has Monterey County Health said? Are they you're in contact with them, they,
right.
Is it low priority for them, or they don't want to do it, or?
They're aware there's a problem, and they're dealing with it on a case-by-case basis with the state systems that they oversee. But with respect to the domestic wells, which I'm going to borrow from Mr. Briggs' metaphor, those are the real hole in the safety net. There's no agenda or intent to notify those at this point from the county level.
Matthew Keeling. I've been speaking regularly with the Monterey County Environmental Health Department, and one of the things that I'd like to point out is that the County Health Department of Monterey has already developed and been implementing a higher tier level of nitrate sampling requirements for state small water supply system wells, as well as the what they call local or shared wells, which are 2 to 4 connections. These requirements are not specified within the public health and safety code, so they've got their own county ordinances in place, and they've been doing that for some time. They've been sharing that data with us, some of which we've used in preparation of our findings for the ag order renewal. They are concerned about the domestic well issues, and they want to work with us. We've talked to them about our notification process that we're currently putting together, and we're going to coordinate with them because they have a laboratory that can help us in doing some of the nitrate sampling. And they do have a program already in place that allows people to contact them who have the domestic well and say, I would like to have my well sampled. Would you come and do that? And so they have done that over a period of years on a as-needed basis as people come to them. We're going to try to tap into that process. And we've talked to them about, well, how much more of a sampling workload can you guys handle if we send out several thousand notices to individual residences that we think are in high-risk areas? So we're currently in discussion with them about their capacity to help us with that. But they are they're concerned about the issue, but they're also concerned about the increase in workload and whether or not they can handle the response that we may get back and they may get back if we send out several thousand notices to individual residences saying that we think their wells may be contaminated and we recommend that they get sampled.
But they're otherwise agreeable to
Absolutely.
Our involvement in this and our instigating more work?
I think they're agreeable, they're cautious, they're concerned, like I said, about what the response and whether or not they can handle it. But they understand their role as the public health agency, and that okay. is their responsibility, and they've been responsive to that, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you both.
I think reluctant would be, you know, that they're cautious because as we look at how many notices will we send out, the number ranges probably between 8 and 15,000 notices. It's substantial. In terms of number of wells. So, you know, thinking big picture, what kind of workload does that create? That therein lies any agency's reluctance is suddenly this new workload shows up on your doorstep. Matt mentioned the county's owned laboratory and us considering using it as a possible nitrate analytical outlet for well samples. We also have to visualize that we may well overwhelm their capacity to do nitrate analyses after we send our notice. So we're envisioning a backup plan where we potentially would contract with a lab that could siphon off excess capacity that the county's own lab could not take in. So.
Okay, thank you.
That's it for that report, Mr. Chairman.